It more than just screens. We offer batteries, the specialized tools. Like, you open an iPhone 7 nowadays and it needs this really special tool to be able to get the battery out and be able to get the screen out of the phone now. And this is something that we started carrying because we found that, you know, people that started fixing the iPhone 7s and wanted to replace the different parts on it, it needed a specialized tool.
Are you getting the most out of your Medicare plan? Many people with Medicare are eligible for plans that include extra benefits in addition to those found in original Medicare. Benefits like dental, vision, and prescription drug coverage. In many areas, plans with benefits are available with $0 monthly premiums or $0 deductibles. Call now. The consultation is free and there's no obligation to enroll.
Call 1-800-603-7080. That's 1-800-603-7080.
And the S&P is down a third of 1%. So not a lot of movement. Not the Dow off its lows of the session. So it's made a little bit of progress. We did get a leading indicator number that came out, and it was off 0.1%. Not a big deal. I don't think traders pay any attention to it. I don't. Maybe I think everybody's like me, but it was a February number, but some of the data in it is missing. So this was one of those government numbers where I don't know if we're going to put it out. Some of the data is missing, so I'm not really sure what good it is. The big concern is the Philly Fed Manufacturing Index that's slumped down from a plus 17 to a negative 2/10 or 3/10, something like that. So that was the big number. That's what really started moving the markets. And by the way, it's the first negative number in 3 years for the Philly Fed manufacturing number. So, you know, people start to panic a little bit. But look, we're coming off a 17, and that 17 was coming off record highs. So look, it is we've got to take a lot of things into consideration, but I would expect the manufacturing is going to start to slip a bit. It only makes good sense that that would be the case. So it looks like existing home sales numbers came out, and it was at 4.94 million. If I'm not mistaken, that is an uptick. Let me look here. Manufacturing, I missed it already. There it is. Yeah, existing home sales. Okay, existing home sales. I thought that was coming out tomorrow. So, 4.98. The last number was 4.99. This is 4.94, so it's actually down. It goes from 4.99 to 4.988. So it is from 4.94. So it's down slightly. So that's really not a bad number. This is existing home sales, which, by the way, there's no inventory, very low inventory. And not to mention that this is a January number. I've got to tell you, the January is not the greatest month in the world, where 1/3 of the population exists just in the Northeast Corridor from Washington to Boston, 1/3 of the population. Look, it is not a good time to be buying a house in the month of January. So, you know, it would stand to reason that that would be down a little bit. And frankly, I'm surprised. I don't think that really makes much of a difference. The dollar index is holding on to a slight gain. So that is, from my perspective, that is good news that it is holding on to some gain. Anyway, that's where we are. Dow is down. So is the S&P. So is the NASDAQ. We'll see where it ends up. Everything was negative all day yesterday. We ended up in positive territory. We'll see if that can happen again today. Hopefully it will. I'm very, very surprised. I don't know why I'm surprised. I guess I'm more surprised that I can't seem to call anything than anything else. But it is very, very surprising when we think about what... You know, where we are, that we can't even, it's so difficult to make a call that should be very simple, like optimism in and around China-U.S. negotiations. We've got some meat on the bone this morning because of Reuters getting an unnamed source to indicate exactly what the six now, we thought there was one, there's now six memorandums that coming out. These are memorandums of understanding about six different areas of trade negotiation. That's what they're going to be talking about today. What they're talking about today is considered high-level negotiations. That alone is call for optimism, yet the markets aren't buying in to the optimism that they should be buying into. So that is one of those things where, like, who's trying to figure this out? Because it's almost impossible. So, you know, the market continues to rally. Will there be pullbacks? Of course there are. You know the old thing, buy on the dips. There's going to be dips. Today might be, not now, but maybe, who knows, by 3 o'clock today might be a great buying opportunity. So there's going to be pullbacks, even in the midst of overall sentiment that the markets are going to continue to rise. But look, we've got markets up 10%. Probably if you sold out everything, don't do this, out of your portfolio, you'd be up for the year. You know, you could go to sleep tonight knowing you're up for the year in your portfolio. Here comes Craig Haugard, our Ag Report.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the USDA Agricultural Outlook Forum starts today in Washington, D.C., so we'll get the first projections for the 2019 growing season. Now, I thought that was going to be the big news today until this morning when word came that the U.S. and China have started to outline commitments in principle on the stickiest issues in the trade war. And that news has brought new life into the agricultural markets. Heading into the USDA's Ag Outlook, the average trade guess is that the U.S. farmers are going to end up planting 91.5 million acres of corn this year. Now, we'll get the actual numbers when those are released tomorrow, but for now, that is where the trade is expecting things to shake out. And speaking of projected plantings, analysts in Brazil are pegging that nation's second crop corn production at 65.3 million metric tons, which would be 21% higher than last year's crop. And acreage down there is estimated to be up 4.2% from last year. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading 4 cents higher. Yesterday, the soybean market traded lower on unresolved trade war situation between U.S. and China. And of course, it appears as if that has been turned around today. But the market was also pressured by news of new cases of African swine fever in China and Vietnam. That news has traders thinking that China may not need to buy as many soybeans as had been projected. In the overnight trade, however, spot soybean futures are trading up a nickel on the encouraging news around the trade war. The wheat market tumbled lower yesterday on lack of demand. Egypt came in and bought 360,000 metric tons of wheat yesterday, and here in the U.S. we missed out on all of that business. France got half of the bushels, with the remaining bushels being split three ways between Russia, Ukraine, and Romania. In the overnight trade, Chicago is 7 cents higher, Kansas City is up 8 cents, while Minneapolis is trading a penny higher. March cotton futures closed 13 points lower yesterday to settle at 70.28, as we've still not recovered from the sharply lower session on February 11th and are remaining trapped in a really tight trading range. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are bouncing back a little bit and up 15 points higher as I record this. Lean hog futures were pummeled for the second consecutive session. Since they were limit down on Tuesday, yesterday gave us expanded limits, and we saw April lean hogs close down another 355 points to settle at $52.97. The close last Friday was $60.27, so in two trading days this week, we've stripped over $6.50 per hundredweight out of this market. Cattle futures were stronger yesterday, with April live cattle up 75 cents, while March feeder cattle closed 12.5 cents higher for the day. Class 3 milk futures suffered a setback yesterday, with March futures down 10 points to close at 1460. In the overnight trade, Class 3 spot milk futures are trading 8 points lower. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down 78 cents at $216.49, while selects were $2.04 lower as they settled at $211.50. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 26 cents higher for the day, settling at $60.17. This has been Craig Haugard.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. Man, aren't you glad? I know so many of you are. I get emails all the time. There we have Craig Haugert. Does a great job. And I can't tell. I don't have a week go by that somebody doesn't email me that is one of our great ranchers or farmers and thank me, just say how much they appreciate us adding that to the program. So it is great. And we want to try to help that hardworking group out as much as we possibly can. And Greg's made some concessions for us. Greg has added, he's added some milk. So he talks about some of the milk futures on a regular basis. He never did. It sounds like I've probably been listening to him for a while, but when he first started, you know, he wasn't adding the cattle and the hogs and all of that. So we've added all that. So he's really been accommodating, been great. Great for us. 844-707-5533. Let me go to the phones. Let's get to Mark. Mark's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, Dan. How are you today?
Good.
Just a quick question. This is kind of a general thing, but last week I made a purchase of a stock FR28 that was on your buy list. But as of now, it's not on your buy list anymore. So I was wondering, should anything be read into that in specific on that stock or in general on things that come and go from your buy list?
No, you should never read anything into it other than, you know, it was a buy. It either went up or went down. I don't remember. I haven't figured out all the numbers system to what exactly it is. So I'm not 100%. Sure, but I either thought it was going to go up over par value too much or for one reason or another, but there's nothing. No, you don't need to read into that. All you have to do is think, I'm glad I got it when I got it because it's off the buy list now.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mark. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Marie. Marie calling from Virginia. Hey, Marie. Marie, you with us? Marie's talking to somebody else, so we'll put her on hold. Let me go to Hector. Hector calling us from Texas. Hey, Hector.
Good morning, Mark.
Yes, good morning.
I hear that you say that T-Mobile was going to buy Sprint. Is that deal is completed?
No.
Okay, I got a... Is it a good idea to buy the stock for Sprint or T-Mobile right now, or they are biblically responsible?
No, neither one of them are biblically responsible. They're not on my list.
Okay. My last question is, what kind of tools, you have a tool that you recommend to follow the market?
Tools? No, I don't have any tools that I recommend. I don't.
Do you have an application for that?
No, I do not.
Okay, and how we can follow accurate, you know, the market?
Well, if you can find something to follow it accurately, let me know, because I don't know of anything that's out there. I mean, obviously, there's the tools of looking at indices and studying various stocks and the behavior of those stocks under various economic conditions. So I'm looking at a very broad range of things. I look at 21 points once a week before I even start considering something going on my buy list. So, I mean, I'm looking at lots of economic indicators, but... you know, to something that is tracking the market is easy. That's simply the indexes. So you can follow those anywhere from the newspaper to almost any website. Our website even tracks three of the indexes that, you know, is there. But that's different in trying to predict or get a feel for what the market is doing. There's nothing out there. There are some things that attempt to do it through various algorithms that they've developed into software programs. So there's plenty of software programs out there that try to do it. They're not anything that I would ever count on or track or use, but there's plenty of things out there, but none that I would recommend.
Okay. Dan, do you buy a list come every day or every week?
Do my buy list?
Yes.
Yeah, my buy list changes. You know, I added something yesterday. I added four stocks yesterday. I added to the buy list. I took off a couple on Monday. So, you know, I'm always looking at it throughout the week, but generally I tell people on Monday it's going to get wiped out, and I'm going to, not the whole list, but those that I added this week or took off this week, that starts over again on Monday morning. But my broad list, my buy list, stays there, and things come and go off that buy list. And so, yeah, I do that on a regular basis. On Sunday, all of my, not without me, I don't have to do it, all of my stocks that I am tracking and doing analytical work on, both from a biblically responsible standpoint and a financial perspective, all of those stocks get run through a certain set of screens and a software program that I built. I didn't build it because I don't know the first thing about doing that, but hire somebody to build for me. They automatically get run through certain screens, program that give me some of those 21 indicators that I look at from a technical perspective. And then from there, the rest of it is a behavioral analytics that I do on it to determine whether something's getting on my buy list or not.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. Thank you, Hector. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Marie from Virginia, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for everything that you do to help other people.
Sure.
And God bless you. I just have a couple questions here. I recently got married. I'm 68 years old. My husband is 75. And we're going to be, you know, his finances are separate from my finances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I have a monthly income of approximately $3,000. That's including Social Security and indemnity and my TAA annuity and a little small retirement from the hospital I worked at. I have it's $127,000 in a money market,
mm-hmm.
and I have $40,000 in the savings account. Now, I'm wondering, should I take that $127,000 and put it in bonds? My husband has an advisor, and he's done very well in the stock market. And I just don't know if I should take that money and put it into bonds or leave it in the money market.
Well, I think you should do something with it, Marie, to get a little bit more gain on it. I would, and bonds, if only if they are individual bonds, not bond mutual funds, but individual bonds, and they are bonds that you plan on keeping until maturity, and they are bonds that you are actually taking the income from on a regular basis.
Okay. Now, I have my own home. We're living in his home. We have a prenup agreement that if something should happen, that just say something should happen to him, that I could live in the house as long as I want to. But it's a sizable property, and I have a smaller house. And I don't know if I should sell my house or if I should... you know, hold on to my house.
Is it being rented out now?
No, it's not. I just wasn't sure about renting my house out. I've done a lot of work in it, and I just don't want, anything to happen to mess it up.
Sure.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah. Listen, I would say that you keep it as long as you're okay paying the taxes and insurance on it, and then mm-hmm. that, and that's not burdensome to you. I would feel better if you kept it. I think that if you like the house and you could see yourself living there, if you had to, you could see yourself living mm-hmm. there, I would keep it. I don't know. You know, look, you don't need the money from a perspective of getting that money from the house, investing it and trying to get income from it. You don't really need that. I would hang on to it.
Okay.
I would keep it and wouldn't even think about selling it.
Well, see, the thing is that, you know, he has children, and I'm thinking they're not going to want me to be staying in his house until I die.
Yep, and that's exactly what I was thinking. I just didn't want to say it. So,
yeah.
You know, I think you're smart thinking that way, and that's another reason why I think you need to keep it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dan. You really helped me a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you, Marie. I'm glad you called. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. We're coming up on a break. As soon as we get back from break, we'll get back to phones. So I'm going to be asked about the retreat. Did I mention it? And again, I say that. I blame it on my wife all the time. She's going to ask me. I didn't do it in the first hour. I forgot. But I'm doing it now, and I hope you'll consider it. Folks, I don't know. How many of you heard Patty? Patty called in here the day before yesterday. She was from Ohio. Patty's been to the last two retreats. Patty's part of her family. We know Patty. We know Patty and her husband. And when she said, when I didn't realize, I knew that the Patty that had been to our retreats was from Ohio, but I didn't click until she's told me that. And she just did a wonderful testimony about what it's about. She'll be back to this retreat. And she's been to the last two. It is an unbelievable time, folks. And I want to tell you, every once in a while, we need to do something for ourselves to shore up, not to gain, but to shore up our spirit that's in us, the spirit of God. We need to just spend some time in doing that. At the same time, laughing, having fellowship, worshiping God as we sit together and we hear one of the best Bible teachers give us some unbelievable insights to God's Word. I'm telling you, you're going to have so much fun, and you're going to love being. Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Syria. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. Listen, I'm going to go right to calls, so cue your call. But I want to say this about the retreat. Look, you need, we all do, to just renew your spirit, draw closer to God. It is such a healthy thing for us to do from time to time. And sometimes we need a jump start. And I'll tell you, this retreat that we're going to have in Dallas at the end of next month, you don't want to miss. And I really mean that. Now, a lot of you are going to want to go in 3 weeks or so and register, and you're not going to be able to. And I want you to register. I want you to really, earnestly, really, just do me a favor and pray whether God would have you or you'd be able to go. And if you're not, you're not. I understand, but pray about it. And you really do. I have a problem. It was interesting, this silly example, but the other day, President's Day. So Yvonne and I said, let's go. We'll go to dinner at the mall early. We went to Cheesecake Factory. We like it there. So we were going there. And we got there early, and I said, you know, it's President's Day. There's probably some sales. I'm gonna buy a pair of shoes that I need. So I bought a pair of shoes. And on the way back home, I said, I hate buying anything for me in that way. You know, it's just like a pair. I need them, yeah, but I still hate it. I just don't like. I don't mind spending money. I'm not. I'm not cheap in that regard, but I am when it comes to myself. And so it's hard for me to say you owe it to yourself. I can't say it. I can't say it because I always think I don't owe anything. I'm not owed anything. I shouldn't, you know, I don't have the rights to ask for anything. I'm like that to a fault. So here I am saying to you, but you do, you owe it to yourself for some refreshment. And even if it's once a year, if it's twice, once every 2 years, whatever it is, but you owe some refreshment to just have some time to go to Bible camp. We send our kids, so we'll call this Bible camp. It's time to refresh our spirit, renew ourselves, have fellowship, become part of a family that you're already a part of. And I'll tell you, the few hundred of us that will be there, it really is a family, and you will come to recognition of that so quick. You're going to make lifelong friends, and it is so good to be around so many people. And I'm just like you. Yvonne and I are there to enjoy the retreat. We're not there to run anything. It's not a conference. It's not a seminar. It's nothing like that. It's a real retreat. We are going to spend time in worship with Marty Goetz, one of the best worship leaders. That if he can't bring you into a state of worship, something's wrong. And you really need to be there if he can't bring you into a state of worship. We have fun with Marty. He is just there. I mean, we, before every session, after every session, before a break, in the morning, in the afternoon, in after lunch, before lunch, I mean, we have so much fun. And Dr. Woodrow Kroll, former president of Back to the Bible, president of Kroll Ministries, Woodrow Kroll Ministries now, is one of the best Bible teachers in the country. And you don't have to. If you think I'm crazy in saying that, you won't think that when you leave. I promise you, you won't be thinking that when I leave. The theme of the retreat is God is able. God is able. And I don't know what Dr. Kroll has in mind for the three sessions that he's going to teach us. I don't know, but I know it's going to be, you won't want to move out of your seat. That's the way he teaches. It's amazing. And we're going to have a great time. We laugh. We have fun. We're laid back. It's very, very casual. You won't find me out of jeans. So it's very, very casual. You won't find me out of jeans almost any time, but it's very casual. So you can come. You don't have to pack a lot of stuff. Just show up. There's not a banquet night. You dress up. It's none of that. We just have a good time. It's a lot of fun, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So I hope that you will come out. If you are an active duty service member, you can come for free. We will pay your expenses for a few of you. Why? Because we had a very generous person that I talked about a while ago that wanted to do that for somebody because she could not come. Her and her husband could come. So she wanted to donate that because we did that last year. We had some people do it last year. That for active duty service member. And then I talked about it, and then we had somebody else step up, and they said they wanted to do a couple, and then we just had somebody else yesterday step up. So that's awesome. So won't cost you anything. Check. Maybe you live in Fort Hood. You can drive. You can drive up. It's a 45-minute drive, probably. I don't know, but it's close. Maybe it's an hour, and you can drive up, spend a couple overnights, and you won't have to pay for it. You'll just have to sit back and enjoy, and you'll have an unbelievable time. So, if you're an active duty service member, now make sure that you email Pat to register. And make sure you're very, very serious, because if you end up not coming, then you've robbed somebody from the opportunity to come. So please make sure that you are 100% certain that you will be there. Please don't do that to somebody else. That wouldn't be fair. So I hope you can think about that. Obviously, as soon as that's gone, it's gone. But We'd love to hear from you if you would love to come. We'd like to be able to do that. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Dean. Dean's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Dean.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I had a question about me and my wife. I recently opened up a Roth IRA after talking to you, and I was going to open up one for her, and she asked about a joint retirement account. Is there any options out there for that?
There is not. There's no such thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if something, if you have an account, and she has an account that you open up, it automatically goes to your spouse. As a matter of fact, you can't get it unless it's going to your spouse too. There's laws against that. If God forbid something were to ever happen where there was a separation, and this happens, sometimes, and not for you, I pray and hope not. But if that were to ever happen, then the one person, either person that has a retirement account, cannot have access to it until half of it goes to the spouse. So there, and that's just the law. So you won't find a brokerage company that will allow that to happen. They won't. It's against federal law. So you don't have to worry about that. But you cannot have a joint account. You can't have any kind of IRA account or retirement account with two names on it. Any two names. Okay. You can't do that.
All right. That's what I need to know. Thank you.
Good. All right. Thanks, Dean. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Laura. Laura's calling us from Mississippi. Hey, Laura.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've got a question for you. It's about life insurance. We've been married for 20 years. We have five sons, and when each of them were born, we got like a little term policy out that I think expires when they're maybe 26.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, my husband and I got, he's the sole provider. And so we've got, I think maybe like 300,000 term on him. And we've got 50,000 for him that we converted to whole life. And then we did the same for me, but just much less. I think I have 25,000 whole life and I don't know, maybe 100,000 term. I mean, what is all of that? Is that a good investment? Are we wasting money? I mean, it's about $100 a month.
Yeah.
And we've had it forever.
So the first question you have to ask yourselves, Laura, is if my husband goes home to be with the Lord, or if I go home to be with the Lord early, is my husband or my wife going to suffer a financial hardship? So, in other words, if you're still raising kids, how old are your children?
The oldest is 18, the youngest is 9.
Yeah.
So it would be very difficult.
So you would have a financial hardship, and you have to ensure that. Okay, so that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
So the question is then, how do you ensure that hardship? Whole life, you said, is that a good investment? No, it's not an investment at all. It's life insurance that does accumulate a little bit of cash value. But is it accumulating fat cash value, or are you paying more? And the more that you pay, the more it accumulates, which is what it really is. So yes, that accumulation is invested in some way, shape, or form. But it's also getting an enormous amount of fees that are taking out of that. And those fees that are taking out, you might not see right away, but they're coming out. So I don't know what the number would be, but what you might want to do for your husband to look at a 30-year level term. How old is he?
He's 45.
So take either a 20 year would probably be fine, but a 20 year, a 30 year level term for whatever amount you have now or need. And it would probably be less, in all likelihood, less than $100 a month. and it would never change. The problem is, at the end of 20 years, it's over. But at the end of 20 years, your youngest is now gone out of the house. Your mortgage hopefully is paid for, and you don't have any debt. And the financial hardships dramatically reduce, and you have IRA accounts.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Financial Issues. If you want to queue your call up, we have a line open. I was talking to Laura from Mississippi. So, Laura, I would be okay. So, yeah. I would, when you surrender those whole life policies, if you, now, first of all, let me be real clear. Do not surrender your existing policies until your new policies are in place. So make sure that you apply for them. You've signed for, you've been approved, you've been through all the physical, all whatever you got to do. I would go to SelectaQuote, SelectaQuote.com. They'll put in your information. They'll give you quotes. Their first three quotes, you know, that you get will be, you know, good A-rated strong companies. Term insurance has become very competitive over the last 3 years, so rates have been coming down, so that's good. And then they'll contact you from there if you want to move further. But it's kind of an easy way to do it, or, you know, you can do it any way you want. I just throw that out there to you. But make sure that is in place. First do that, what I just said, the selected quote, so you get an idea of what it's going to cost you. It's not going to be cast in stone, but it'll say, okay, for this much insurance, it's going to cost you, you know, $43 a month or whatever it is. So it'll tell you, give you a rough idea there. It's not going to be off very much one way or another, but it'll give you an idea. So at least you have an idea whether you want to proceed or not. And then get out of the other policies. The cash value that you have will have a portion of it that will be taxable to you. Not a lot, but when you call to cancel, they will tell you exactly how much to the penny is going to be taxable to you. So some of that will be taxable. So I just give you that heads up.
Let me ask you this. So we do have term policies already, and I think it's only been a couple of years since we renewed them. You know, we had one that like expired that we had gotten when our now 18-year-old, so we've had it a while. And I think there's a good many, at least probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years left on the term policy that are each, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars each.
Okay.
Can I just leave those in place? They're with Modern Woodmen, and I don't even know if that's a good company.
You can leave that in place for sure. If that's all that you need, leave that in place. But my only concern would be that 10 years yet makes your youngest 19. And take a look to see where you think from a debt perspective and other things you'll be in 10 years. I would, you know, I just wish it were longer, I guess is what I'm saying. So because you never know in 10 years, you could come down with type 2 diabetes. You could, do something, you know, have a health event that could now be, not necessarily be hard, but be very expensive to get insurance. And
so you think a 20-year level term, really just on him, I think mine would be fine. Like I said, he's a CRNA, and so
he
has he doesn't want to retire like ever. You know, I don't understand why people retire. So
right. I'm with him.
He may change his mind on that in 20 years. But
yeah.
So should I add a 20-year level term to what I already have for him?
Yes.
Just to extend it longer?
Yes. Okay. So you can keep the one you have and just get another $100,000 for 20 years. That would be pretty inexpensive. Or get rid of that and get another $200,000. But, yeah, I would just change his.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Laura. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye. Let me go to Regina from Alabama. Hi, Regina.
Good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
My husband is going to be 65 next month, and he was given, I guess it was a stock account whenever he was at a job, and it's gone for like 40 years, and he wasn't able to contribute to it. And they always told us on the statements every year that it would be given as a lump sum whenever he turned 65. Well, I recently got information from a annuity company that is giving us different options with it, and they said that the option that gives us the most money is $76 each a month. It's got $108,000 in it. So we had intended to roll it over into an IRA if that would have been possible. And I haven't called them yet to see if that's still doable, but since we got this information from the annuity company. So, but we would never live long enough to get that much money. So do you not get the money that is in the account when you have an annuity? I don't understand how that works.
Well, you should be able to get a lump sum. So, I mean, they're not going to offer you that because they want you to do the annuity. So they're going to mention it. But if you were to call there and say, hey, look, I would like to do this, but can I was planning on getting a lump sum annuity, a lump sum payout. Can we go ahead and get that lump sum payout? We're going to roll it over into an IRA. So I would just ask him, but I suspect you can still do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. And I think that's the wise thing to do.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Regina. 844-707-5533. Folks, we got an hour and 10 minutes left. We got lines open. So go ahead and queue your call up. Let me go to Steve. Steve's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. My question was, first of all, quick background. I'm 68 years old, 2 years away from hitting that mandatory distribution from my IRA.
Okay.
And I'm trying to reduce the amount in the IRA to keep myself in the future in the 12% tax bracket.
Okay.
So my question is, what are the rules and limitations, if any, for converting my traditional IRA to a Roth?
So there's nothing. The rules are pretty simple. Whatever you convert is considered like a distribution. So you will have to pay tax on whatever it is you convert. You can convert any amount you want. If you want to convert, you know, $50,000 or $50, you can do either whatever you want. But whatever you convert, you've got to pay tax on. So there's no rules as far as what you can do. There is a rule. It's an existing Roth, right?
Yes, I have an existing Roth, okay, and I have an existing IRA with the same brokerage.
So I would call the brokerage because there may be a five-year waiting period on what you convert before you can use it. Now, I don't think there will be, but I wouldn't do it unless you ask.
Yeah, I've been in both for probably 10, 15 years.
Right. Well, see, sometimes that five-year clock is based on new money coming in.
Ah.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. It's not. Yep. It doesn't have anything to do with how long you've had it. So I would just be careful because the IRS is trying to discourage people from doing this backdoor Roth contribution, which is not what you're doing, because you're not contributing to the Roth anymore, right?
No, I have not. I did not do it in 2018. I believe I did in 2017.
Yeah. So I mean, that's not an issue, but that's one of the reasons why they're a little bit more adamant about this five-year thing. So I would call whatever brokerage it is and say, I have a question for you. If I do this, am I going to have to wait until, you know, 5 years from now before I can start drawing on that money? And they'll tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other question is, because I'm working part-time,
okay,
so I really have no understanding of what my final income will be this year. If I want to convert from the traditional to the Roth, can I do it in little increments throughout the year?
Yes.
As I watch, control my income. So, again, my goal is not to exceed the 12% tax bracket.
Right. I got you. Yeah. Yeah, you can do it. Or you can do, you know, $30 a month if you want, or $30 now and $20 3 months from now. You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank
All
you
right.
for your help.
All right, Steve. Thank you. I'm glad you called. Good stuff.
Bye-bye.
844-707-5533. We got two lines open. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. You can also post your question on Facebook, and we will try to get to that question as well. So you can do that on Facebook. So if you watch on Facebook, feel free to queue your question up, and we'll get to those questions as well. Speaking of those questions, somebody is asking me about a particular, can you talk about, I guess they're asking me, I'm not 100% sure what they're asking. I think they're asking if I can talk about a particular stock that I just lost. Let me get back to that page. Well, we're coming home on the break. Okay. Somebody asked me about a particular stock. Yes, I can talk about it, but I'll have to do it when we get back from the break. I think that was your question. And I can do that. I'll talk about it as soon as we get back. We'll take your other Facebook questions, any other questions you have. If you've got to leave us, I know some of you do, and some of you switching over to the phone app right now as we speak, but if you've got to do that, we sure hope that you have a wonderful day. Remember, folks, all that you have is His. Let's be a good and faithful steward. You have a great, great day. God bless. Tomorrow, Rapid Fire Friday, we'll be back right after this.